Our scripture lesson for this morning is in the book of Ephesians, reading the third chapter, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From time to time, I have someone that will ask me, how did you become a preacher? And I don't know if it's because I don't seem so well suited for the job or if it's just curiosity. How did you become a preacher? Because it is it's a strange kind of life. It's not something that you see a lot of people doing. It's really socially hazardous, I can tell you that, because you're used to standing up every Sunday in a room for 22 minutes speaking to people without anybody interrupting and changing the subject. So that really doesn't work well at a party, you know, or any normal conversations you may have. I've had to learn to, listen to other people. I had a nice time growing up in Church in the Pines in Laurel Hill and really good pastors there, but I don't recall any of them really inspiring me to want to preach. But one time I do remember is I was in college and my dad was on the board at Montreat. And the pastor of the Montreat Presbyterian Church was a guy named Calvin Thielman. And Calvin Thielman asked my dad if I would be interested in going to this big international conference on evangelism in Switzerland, Lausanne, Switzerland. And my dad said, well, I'll ask him. And I thought, you know, that sounds kind of fun. It was put on by the Billy Graham Association. Billy Graham Association is right there in Montreat. And so, you know, they sent me all this stuff to read and in advance. And so end of June of that year, I got on a plane to Geneva and then got on the train from Geneva to Lausanne. And there's a big conference center there right on the lake, right on Lake Geneva. And I was there for a week and they had the best preachers from all over the world at the podium, morning and night. And, of course, Billy Graham himself, who was no slouch, he was a preacher, too. And I remember for the first time thinking, wow, preaching is pretty cool. And these guys were powerful. They just moved me. And I never had anybody do that before. How were they doing that? How was it that a guy standing up there, and they were all guys, I promise you, that a guy standing up there saying things would just energize me and make me stand up and clap or even move me to tears? How did that happen? And so I thought about it a lot. Was it their gestures? Was that what it was? Was it, you know, the way they carried themselves? Was it their diction, you know, their tone of voice? What was it that made them so powerful? And I think that's sort of where we're going today. It took me a long time to feel like I was getting there preaching. I'm going to tell the story, and then we'll get to the scripture. But this really happened. I after that, I came home, and then I was in a band for 2 years, and then I went to seminary. And so first, they don't give you preaching courses until your second semester. So you go in the fall, and then you come home for Christmas. Well, my little church, Church in the Pines, they finally had a child of the church who was in seminary, and they wanted me to preach for Christmas Eve. And so I worked on this sermon for a long time. And I got to say, probably in our family growing up, we didn't. My mom made my dad promise no alcohol, you know, at the table growing up. But after we had all left, that promise was fulfilled. So we were having wine with dinner, and I had a cold, and I was taking this antihistamine called Contact. And so Christmas Eve night, I think I was kind of buzzing when I went to the church to preach anyway. And I preached this 45-minute behemoth of a sermon from Genesis to Psalms to the Gospels to the Epistles to Timothy to Revelation. And I just want to make sure I said it all. You know, I want to make sure it all got in there. And I finished it and looked out, and I could tell they were kind of glazed over, you know. And very politely glazed over, but glazed over. And so I went with Dave Bowen, was the pastor, and he and I, at the end, we went out, you know, to the front, and we're going to shake hands with people to leave. If they left, and he leaned over to me, and he said, "Don't worry, you'll get better." You know, and I think I knew exactly what he was talking about, because I didn't feel very good about it, and I did get better. And I remember then that next summer, I went to Trinity Presbyterian Church in Clearwater, Florida. It was a 2,000-member church, a big Noah's Ark barn of a sanctuary. And I'd already had a preaching course, and I got in there on Saturday night and tried to practice, and I felt absolutely powerless to preach. And I remember so well that I just stood in that pulpit finally and said, "God, you got to do this, because I just don't have it. You know, it's got to be you." And that's where I think our scripture comes in tonight, okay, today. This is Ephesians. And, you know, Reverend Cynthia Purvis gave us a great start on Ephesians last week. This part of Ephesians, you know, it's a disputed authorship. I think it's Paul. And that he's writing from prison in Rome. So he has plenty of time to write stuff. It's not to one church. It's to a whole lot of churches in Asia Minor. And so he kind of gushes. He kind of like lets things just tumble out. And this one, just like the one I preached on 2 weeks ago, it's one sentence. And Paul just babbles, just goes from the top to bottom in one sentence. But it really is a prayer that is about us. And I want you to think of this as personally a prayer for you that Paul is praying, okay? And it has to do with what you're called to. That God would give you power, and he's praying that God will give you power in three ways. So I'm going to give you the outline first, and then we'll go back. God will give you power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, God would give you power to comprehend the love of Christ. And three, God would give you power to accomplish far more than you can imagine. Now let's go back to the first one. God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I have this big, thick Bible at home, this 8 versions of the Bible parallel. And so it's fun to kind of ping-pong around a different. And I want to read you verse 16 out of the New International Version, NIV. It says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now, a couple things here. He says that he's going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit in your inner being. We Presbyterians don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. You know, it's too bad. But I want to talk about it today, because this whole thing is about the Holy Spirit. And it's about the Holy Spirit in you and me. Because we forget about it sometimes. We think, like I was trying to do in that church that night, you know, we've got to kind of rev ourselves up, and we've got to be really brilliant. And we've got to have these great analogies and all these things. You know, Tanner and I, we kind of are creating this homiletics course, a preaching course. We're reacting on all these things. And one of the things that we talk about it is you do not have to be brilliant. is that you have to expose the text, and the text is brilliant, but you don't have to be brilliant. But there's a sense to rev it up, and I want to think about what you're doing nowadays. One is you may just be needing to care for yourself, and that's legitimate. If you have had, you know, a big wound, somebody that you love dearly that is absolutely essential to you has died, if you're grieving, if you are facing a diagnosis, or somebody you love is facing a diagnosis, that's enough right there to need power for without going any further. But if you are doing okay, and you're in your work, you sense God calling you to do stuff with people, or you know you see folks in your just out there that you think, man, somebody needs to reach out to them, that is what the Holy Spirit's for. The Holy Spirit is there to give you power that's more than your power. Is to give you power for ministry. And the word, I looked it up because I wanted to be sure. The word power there is dunamis in Greek. Dunamis, and it's where we get dynamite from, is that word's power. So the first thing Paul is praying here is that you would have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would give you power. And we got to remember that, that it's not just up to us to be clever and brilliant and, you know, erudite, and sensitive, and you know, because we're just not, you know, but the Holy Spirit in us can do stuff that we wouldn't be able to do. Okay, second is verse 17 and 18, that God would give you power to comprehend the love of Christ. I pray, this is from the NIV too, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. It's amazing to me that we lose track of that. That we lose track that we are loved. That we are loved by God. And you know, yeah, we have done some things that God didn't like. We know it. And you know, we may have that kind of like, yeah, I know, but you and I both remember the thing I did, you know. And what Paul is saying is forget all that. He says, I am praying that you would be rooted and grounded in God's love, would be have the power, again, as dunamis, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, that Christ's love is so big, so high, so wide, that it overcomes our measly attempts at earning Christ's love. It overcomes that. That's how big it is. It's about Christ's love more than it is about my deserving Christ's love. And that's the second prayer. If you are wanting to tap into God's power, is to have the power to remember that you are loved. Because it's only when you know you're loved that you can step out. I experience it really on every Sunday morning. There's something about doing this that it just seems impossible on Sunday morning sometimes. It just seems like, what am I doing? I can't do this. And yet, every single time something happens that's better than me, that comes out. And that can happen with you, whether it's with the people, whoever you're thinking about that you want to love, that you want to, you know, share the love of Christ with. God's power, God's Holy Spirit can do that in you. And then the third thing, God would give you power to accomplish far more than you can imagine. It's dumb, but I remember that Star Wars thing where they're trying to convince Han Solo to take him, you know, and save the princess. And he says, she's got a lot of money. She'd give you more money than you can imagine. And Han Solo goes, I don't know, I can imagine a lot. And this is like, God will give you power to accomplish far more than you can imagine. I don't know, I can imagine a lot. But he's going to give you the power to accomplish more than that. All right, so we're going to read it in three different versions. I love this, verse 20. And this is a benediction. Okay, this is the end of the first half of Ephesians, and he's tying it all off with this benediction. In the King James, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I love that, exceedingly abundantly above all. I grew up with that language. NIV says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can think or imagine. And then the NRSV that we have says, and it's great, Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. So think about your thing, the thing I asked you to identify early on, whether it's in yourself, in your own life, and or if it's something where you work or where you feel called to do some kind of ministry or people you feel called to reach out to, that by the power at work within us, that God would be able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can even imagine. That's the amazing thing. And that's why, you know, when you think about faith as the evidence of things hoped for, you just show up and do it and do it and do it and do it. And you do it every day and let God take care of the results. And somehow, way, way more than you've ever even thought or imagined happens. It's unbelievable. But all has to do with that power in your life. What can you imagine God doing? What can you imagine God using you for? If you imagine that, does that come to mind? Triple it. Quadruple it. That's what God can do with you. Because of the power in you, the Holy Spirit in you, God can do abundantly and immeasurably more than that. And God, that power, believe it or not, right now, that power is at work in us. And Paul is praying for that in you. God's power to heal you and God's power to reach out to others. I'm going to close with something that's a little bit odd, I want you to think about this in terms of the needs that are named. This is a benediction that Nadia Bolz Weber read at a funeral. And I don't know if any of y'all know who Rachel Held Evans was, but she was she died early. This Nadia did this benediction. And just listen to the people in here, and you sense a call in this. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those whom no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables. The laundry guys at the hospital. The sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. The closeted. The teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. I imagine Jesus standing here blessing us because that is our Lord's nature. This Jesus cried at his friend's tomb, turned the other cheek, forgave those who hung him on a cross. He was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in a world that admires only the strong. Jesus invites us into a story bigger than ourselves and our imaginations. Yet we all get to tell that story with the scandalous particularity of this moment and this place. We are storytelling creatures because we are fashioned in the image of a storytelling God. May we never neglect the gift. May we never lose our love for telling the story. Amen. It's for these folks that she mentions that the Holy Spirit empowers us. It's for ourselves to heal us, yes, but it's also beyond us. It's for these. As we approach this meal, this communion meal, there's power here too. It's the power of Jesus who was crucified, who gave his body and blood for us. And it's not just a symbol, like a cross is a symbol of something, but there is a sense in which just as this bread and this juice nourishes us physically, that the Spirit of God will strengthen us spiritually by having this meal, that you're going to be more powerful having had this communion than if you hadn't. So think of it as being a real thing, not just a symbol. Let's pray together. Lord, all those things that are in us, our wants and our needs and our needs to be healed and strengthened, and then all those needs in your world out there, the people we work with, the people we see, our own family members. Lord, just let us sense the love that you have for us. Let us sense your power in us to do way more than we can imagine. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.